Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and today my guest is Douglas Mulhall. Douglas is the author of the book, Discovering the Nature of Longevity, which talks about how damage inflicted on the heart and body is being prevented and reversed. In this episode, we're going to talk about how certain stresses, as well as heavy metals and other toxins that service members are exposed to regularly, can contribute to certain diseases, but also how they can now be removed from their bodies before they cause any more harm. So before we get into that, though, welcome to the show, Douglas. I'm glad to have you here.
God, thanks very much for having me. This is going to be a really valuable program for all the service people out there who are listening to this.
Yeah, I really think it will be. There's so much talk going on about different exposures from a wide variety of things that service members are dealing with all the time, from deployments to, you know, stateside, different things that they get exposed to. And we want to get those things out of us. We don't want to have those just kind of fester and linger in us and, have those cause problems down the road. But before we get into all of that, for the listeners who maybe aren't familiar with you and your background, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Actually, the main thing that people would want to know about me on a program about toxic metals is how did I work on toxic metals? So I have actually been training designers and builders how to keep these toxic metals out of products and out of buildings for the past 30 years. And I have been doing that using an award-winning methodology that our institute developed that is recognized by the U.S. EPA. And this has been extremely effective in creating healthy products and healthy buildings. Now, on the other side of that, I have been personally involved in actually working with the therapies that we're going to be talking about. I've used some of them myself personally, and I have chronicled the successes of patients and doctors who have been using these over the past 15 to 20 years very successfully. So all of my background comes down to this single thing, which I call, of course, hidden stress, because these are not the types of toxic poisoning that people often hear about, but rather the low-level metals. And this is the main thing that we'll be focusing on today. And we'll be focusing on some developing news stories that have been broken open by three major news sources.
Yeah, and we were talking a little bit about that before we started recording here. But the interesting thing is that this is now starting to get some attention in the mainstream news. And it's not like, some fringe groups that are just trying to, cause a stir or anything like that. This is actual, real stuff that we're talking about here that's really affecting people and the way they're getting treated through the medical community and everything like that. I think it's really important to talk about and keep this awareness going, which is why I wanted to bring you on. And I know a lot of service members have dealt with these types of exposures, and
right,
they may not be getting the right kind of help from the VA or wherever it is that they're getting the treatment, right?
Exactly. And the odd thing is that the VA has a program around this, but it doesn't deal with this particular therapy. But that's all about to change because of what the American Heart Association has just announced. And as you said, this thing has gone mainstream, and that's what we're going to be talking about.
Perfect. When we get back, we're going to get more into this and talk about some of the toxins and the exposures that service members have dealt with and how they're wreaking havoc on people's bodies. So stay tuned.
Hurricane season is almost here, and the time to prepare is right now. When Hurricane Ida hit the Gulf Coast, it destroyed countless homes and left many without access to food and clean water. Millions lost power, and some for weeks. The floods that followed the hurricane washed out roads and made it impossible for grocery stores to restock their shelves. Families were left hungry and desperate, waiting for help that was slow to arrive. But what if you didn't have to rely on FEMA to provide for your family during a crisis? The answer is simple. Be prepared with emergency food kits from 4 Patriots. Their long-lasting and delicious food options are specifically designed to provide you and your loved ones with the sustenance you need when you need it most. 4 Patriots survival food kits are hand-packed in the USA. They last up to 25 years. They come packed inside covert storage totes. They include a wide variety of delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, and are backed by thousands of 5-star customer reviews. 4 Patriots survival food is not just for natural disasters, because in today's world of uncertain supply chains and unpredictable emergencies, it's more important than ever to have a backup plan. Whether it's a temporary power outage, a winter blizzard, or rising food costs, you can rest easy knowing that you have a reliable source of food to see you through. And right now, you can go to 4patriots.com and use code DRIVEON to get 10% off your first purchase on anything in the store, including their emergency food supply kits designed to last up to 25 years. Just go to 4patriots.com and use code DRIVEON to get 10% off your purchase of 4 Patriots survival food. That's 4patriots.com. Use code DRIVEON.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Douglas, I want to talk, before we get into all of these, the treatments and other things like that, I want to talk about the exposures that a lot of veterans have. A lot of them are exposed to toxins during their service. Heard a lot about burn pits in the news lately and the toxic chemicals that we're all exposed to. But there are also chemicals found in drinking water. Heavy metals also can be found in while handling ammunition and fuel and a variety of other substances that military members are regularly exposed to. I want to talk about how these toxins affect our bodies and why is this even an issue?
Yeah. And Scott, you just gave a very nice list. It's at two levels. One, some of these toxins, these toxic metals have been with us since humans walked the earth. They've been in the water. They've been in air from fires. These are nothing new. But as you described quite aptly, in the military especially, people are exposed to elevated levels of these. Now, these are not levels that would cause a poisonous reaction that you notice. These are what I call in the book the hidden stresses that we don't notice until they start to make us really sick. And that is the problem. So here are some examples. What happens is that these get into you by different routes. So you breathe them, you ingest them through water. They're in our food. A recent Consumer Reports report, for the second time in 5 years, showed that these are in high levels in baby food. So these are starting to get into us right from the day we're born, from the get-go. Now, I'll give you some examples of what they cause, but it's all connected to really to one thing, and that is something called oxidative stress. Now, when most people hear the term oxidative stress, they think, oh, bad, you know, because you take all these antioxidants to get rid of oxidative stress. That's what people hear. But actually, oxidative stress is a natural thing in the body that helps defend cells against infection. So there's a balance going on in your body between the free radicals that go after these infections and other things that attack cells and the substances that then knock down those free radicals after they've done their job. The problem is when you get things like heavy metals in the body, they stick in you. They stick in your tissue. So they're not always floating around in your blood or anywhere else. They're actually lodged right in your tissue. So they're sitting next to your cells, and they are generating this imbalance called oxidative stress between these free radicals and the substances that control them so that you have this permanent imbalance. That's called oxidative stress. That oxidative stress leads to chronic inflammation that a lot of people are experiencing these days. And so that chronic inflammation then triggers your genes to do a lot of things to you that, you know, you don't want to have done. And An example of that is the elastin fiber that's in your body that actually drives every breath you take and every move you make. And this elastin fiber is in all of your organs. It's in your vocal cords. You can't have sex without it because all your sex organs have it. And so it literally drives every movement in the human body. Well, these heavy metals are really bad for elastin fiber because they lodge next to it. They cause an inflammatory response that actually damages the elastin. And then you get this vicious cycle where the damaged elastin is always falling apart, always sending out these help me signals. And this is what you get. So on this side here, you can see, I hope you can see it in the camera.
Yep.
You have elastin fiber in a six-year-old. And on this side, you have it in a 96-year-old. That's what goes on in aging. And a lot of that is caused by toxins like heavy metals sitting there and doing their nasty thing against you. So you can see that this type of chronic response can lead to a whole bunch of other things. The second thing that these metals do is they are chemically and biologically carcinogenic. So they promote cancer. They wreck DNA. And they provoke this cancerous response and turn cells into cancer cells. So they're bad for your heart. They're bad for cancer because they promote it. And this is just bad stuff. Now, a lot of people also hear that we need some essential metals, which is true. You need copper, you need zinc in minute amounts. Well, copper is not a heavy metal, so to speak, but also, your body does not need these toxic metals. It doesn't need lead. It doesn't need cadmium. It doesn't need uranium. It doesn't need chromium. And all of these metals are building up slowly inside us. And they are what is called bioaccumulative. So they build up from the moment you're born. And that's the key thing about them. They accumulate. And that becomes a big problem when you reach your 30s and you start to feel not so hot anymore. That's this stuff at work inside you.
Now, is that buildup you were talking about, like the hidden stresses, right? So when you're young, very little bit has been entered into your body, you know, unless you happen to be exposed to large quantities, but just through normal daily life, normal breathing of the air, normal eating of certain foods, you have little bits built up, and then over time, more and more, and it's not like they go anywhere, right? You said they are pretty much stuck in your body. Is that when you start to notice these the inflammation and the other issues that come along with that, is after the buildup of all of that?
Well, it's a very individual thing. Actually, autopsies of very young children have shown that they have fatty buildups in the walls of their arteries at a very young age. So this is starting, but because you're so strong when you're young, you know, you don't really notice this. On the other hand, it's a very individual thing. It can start to affect some people at the age of, you know, 15, and other people don't feel it until they're in their 30s. So it also heavily depends on your exposure and also sure. The types of metals that you're exposed to. So there's a whole bunch of variants in there. And the only real way to find that out, and we're going to talk about that in the next segment, is to test for these, which indeed is possible. So the answer to your question is, it depends. It depends on the individual. It depends on the exposure. It depends on the types of metals. And you can get a wide field of variants on that.
Right. And I would imagine that service members are exposed to some of these toxins at a much higher rate than people who, you know, are not in that type of environment. And that's really what we're talking about today is, how this occurs in service members. And I'd love to hear if there's any ways to avoid these toxins. Obviously, you know, don't
sure.
purposely go in and, expose yourself to them. But, is there like PPE type thing that you can do if you have to be around these types of things? Or what are there some ways that we can help?
Yeah. And first of all, I can give you an example of how people are exposed to these in ways that they don't think. A major story is developing. It was broken by the Wall Street Journal just a little while ago. And they've revealed that the sheathing that's around a lot of the communications cables that are used in the industry still has lead in it. And Verizon's stock took a dive when that story came out, and actually the shareholders launched a class action lawsuit about this this issue. So there's a lot of this sheathing in military equipment. So, you know, if people, the telecom experts who are working on this stuff have been exposed to it. So that's an example of one exposure pathway that actually just hit the news very recently. Now, we'll come back to the testing part, but you asked how can you keep this stuff out of you? There's a lot of ways that you can keep it out of you. First of all, the body does get rid of some of it naturally. And oddly enough, there are a few veggies that can help you get rid of it. Things like the sprouts of broccoli. So the young early sprouts, which are 100 times more potent than grown broccoli in helping your body actually get rid of these heavy metals. They go in and they grab the metal and you pee it out, basically. So cilantro. Which is used by a lot of people as a garnish, cruciferous vegetables. So there are some foods actually that can help your body actually to get rid of this stuff. So that's number one. Number two, filtration of all sorts, especially given that, you know, most military personnel spend a lot of time indoors. In these enclosed spaces. Well, guess what? Those enclosed spaces all have filtration units. And one of the key things that needs to be done is we need to start using HEPA quality, very high quality filters to get out these PM2.5, these very, very tiny particles that actually carry the heavy metals in them from everything from stuff that's in your clothing to stuff that's in wildfires, to dust from depleted uranium shells. There's a whole bunch of sources of this that are circling around in the outside atmosphere, and buildings, which is one of the things that I specialize, can actually help to prevent this big time. Also in water, they can filter the water that's coming in. And actually the military is really specialized at this kind of stuff, so they sure know how to do it. So for a lot of people, especially people who are not in combat zones, who are, you know, indoors a lot, this is really, really important. And they should be looking, they should be talking to their commanding officers and asking the administrators, okay, you know, how are we filtering for this stuff? That's an activity that, you know, everybody can do. So that's one of the ways that you can really protect yourself. Now, if you're in a really high dust environment, yes, wear a mask. You know, wear an N95 mask. That's for sure. And this will really help a lot, especially in wildfire zones. Oddly enough, these metals occur in wood and grasses. They get uptaken from the soil. So when it burns off. Plus, in wildfires, a lot of equipment and cars and houses, they all burn up. And guess what? They are full of these heavy metals because all of our consumer electronics are full of heavy metals.
Sure.
So they go into the air and people are breathing this stuff. So once again, if you're going out, you should be wearing a mask in under those conditions. So those are some examples of how you can get this out of you or prevent it from getting into you. And we haven't talked about the real therapies yet. We'll get to that in the next segment.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good segue there. So we're going to cut to a quick commercial break, and we'll talk about some of those therapies and other treatments when we get back. So stay tuned.
Embrace your patriotism with the Patriot Box subscription box service. Join Patriot Box's community of proud Americans. Visit the link in our show notes for more information.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We were just talking about the ways that we can avoid having these toxins enter our body, before the break. And it's not always possible. You know, you're exposed to things. Sometimes it may be unexpected. Maybe you didn't realize that there were, these toxins or heavy metals or anything like that. So they get into our bodies and they happen. And like you were saying earlier, Douglas, it happens basically from birth. And so, you know, as a young child, you're not worrying about what's in your food and what's in the air that you're breathing. You just assume that whatever your parents are giving you is going to be good, right?
Exactly. Who cares?
Yeah, right. So earlier we were talking about how they affect the bodies. But once those toxins get into our bodies, what are some of the standard treatments that currently exist for these types of exposures? And what are people seeing as far as, the efficacy of these treatments?
Yeah. And Scott, maybe we could start with the testing, if it's okay. Is that all right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah.
And here's why, because you can test for them, but you've got to be really careful because, and this was on a show that I saw recently, they say, oh yeah, you can test for heavy metals because, you know, when we test for lead poisoning, we do a blood test and we do a urine test and, you know, that'll show you. But that's not accurate when it comes to these low levels. And I want to emphasize something here. The American Heart Association just came out with an official scientific statement saying that low levels of these heavy metals are a new heart disease risk. This is an official statement from America's leading heart institute. So this is a different ballgame than the high levels that lead to the type of lead poisoning that most military health care people are used to dealing with. That is not the case here. This is the stuff that lodges in your tissue. And so what you have to do is you've got to test somehow what comes out of that tissue in order to know what levels of metals that you have. So this stuff is not circulating in the blood. A little bit of it is. It's kind of an indicator. It's not circulating in your urine, you know, unless you do something. And that something is called a provocation test. And that provocation test involves doing a very short-term chelation, which is any one of a number of chemicals that chelate or grab. Chelate is actually a term for to grab. And they grab these metals, and they pull them out of your tissue, and you pee them out. And then they can test your urine. So you can have a baseline before you do that, and then you can have this test after you've done this, and that shows the difference. And I've seen many, many, many of these tests. Now, I'll also tell you that, you know, there's been tremendous resistance in the standard community. Oh, well, no, these so-called provocation tests don't work. Well, they do. And now that the American Heart Association has drawn attention to this whole issue, it's really starting to be a lot more mainstream. But the reason I say that is because a lot of military personnel might be told, by healthcare providers that, that stuff, we don't do it, and it doesn't really work. Well, you better then go for a second opinion. I keep in mind, I'm not a doctor. My specialist is keeping these toxins out of people and chronicling the work that has been done. And I've also started some companies that are working on it. So I'm not giving anyone medical advice. I'm just saying that if you get that advice, you might want to think about getting a second opinion. Now,
sure.
You can also have hair and nail tests done. They'll give a better indication of long-term exposure for sure. So those are the types of tests that you can do that are much more accurate. Now, when it comes to therapy, the therapy that was highlighted by the American Heart Association in its recent scientific statement is something called chelation therapy. Now, as soon as you mention the word chelation, about half the doctors in the audience turn off the broadcast because this is voodoo medicine and it's nonsense and everything else. Unfortunately, they are relying on very old data. Chelation therapy has been around since the early 1990s. And at the beginning, as with all new therapies, including FDA-approved drugs, there were some problems in the beginning with the dosing. And, you know, some people got really sick and a few people died because they were overdosed. This is nothing new in the drug industry, by the way. 300,000 people die a year of wrongly administered drugs. That has not occurred in the recent history of the use of chelation therapy, because there is now an institute which authorizes physicians to actually do it right. So to be clear, these doctors who say this are depending on old information. They're also not paying attention to the clinical trials that were done, financed by the National Institutes of Health and run by the chief of cardiology at Columbia University, Dr. Gervasio Lamas, who, by the way, wrote the foreword to my book. And these studies showed clearly after 10 years that, for example, diabetic heart patients have a 41% reduction in all causes of death, for 5 years taking this, after they've taken this therapy. That is something that drug companies would salivate over. If a drug did that, such a huge reduction in all causes of death. So clearly this is significant. Now, in another clinical study, which was much, much smaller, patients with peripheral artery disease, which is a blockage of the arteries in your legs that can lead to amputation of the legs, and 175,000 people a year have their legs amputated because of this. Well, Dr. Lamas had patients that were facing amputation, and he decided after doing the 10-year clinical trial to try it with these patients. Well, lo and behold, no amputations. They kept their legs, and they were walking around on them, and all their gangrenous lesions went away, and this is all published in four peer-reviewed journals. And what they found was, guess what? A soup of toxic metals coming out in the urine of these patients who were treated with this non-invasive therapy. So you would think that given that that happened in 2017, that today doctors would be really enthusiastic about trying this with their patients. Nope, not according to the New York Times, who just broke an investigative story showing that millions of people have undergone unnecessary vascular surgeries for peripheral artery disease. And unfortunately, what the Times doesn't mention, but my book does, is that these patients are not being told about this therapy that is available that's non-invasive. So that type of therapy, just to recap, is called intravenous chelation therapy. And they put a needle in your arm and it circulates in your blood for about 2 or 3 hours a week. And depending on how serious your condition is, this goes on for about 25 to 40 weeks, which most people think, oh, you know, that's a long time and that can be expensive. Yeah, compared to open heart surgery or dropping dead of a heart attack, no, it's not. Sure. So, and in fact, and I know we got to close out for the ads, but a study showed that this therapy is 80% less expensive than those radical surgeries. And after the break, I'm going to come back and talk to you about an even easier therapy that has been proven over the last 20 years.
Well, before we get there, I want to just kind of circle back and think of, about kind of maybe the motivations of some of these doctors who, you know, like you said, they tune out when you start talking about some of these treatments, and they don't even want to hear it, and they don't want to try it. You know, part of me, you know, just putting myself in their shoes, part of me would say, well, okay, why wouldn't they want to try some of this? And you know, having looked at historical things, like you said, in the past, there has been some issues with it. Maybe they just don't want the liability of trying that when there are other things that, that can potentially work. Yeah, a lot more invasive, but maybe that's a reason why. However, like yeah. You're saying, so many more advances have been made that they should be thinking about giving this a try again.
Yeah, Scott, the reason is it's not any single reason. But the big driver is money. Hospitals sure. depend on surgery for profits. It's just that simple. And it drives profits. And surgeons depend on surgery for profits. And this is a huge driver. And by the way, it's not limited to medicine. You know, the history of medicine is full of these stories of healthcare providers resisting innovative, inexpensive therapies. It's nothing new. And it's not limited to medicine. It's in politics. It's in industry. You know, status quo. Look at the fossil fuel industry. You know, resisting sure. The renewables. it's a similar story. So it's human nature. And the third thing, so the first thing is money. The second thing is, we're just not going to do it because we're not familiar with it. And the third thing is that they're not trained and they don't know the tests. And so, we're not going to do that because actually we're not trained to do it. So these things have all come together to create a perfect storm of resistance to this. However, I just want to emphasize the good news is it's all changed now that the American Heart Association has come out and said these metals are a major heart disease risk and we have to get rid of them. And here is an example of a substance that does exactly that.
You would think it would just be kind of a no-brainer that you want to do these things and take care of the patients and take care of this problem right off the bat.
Yeah, and even more so because there's now there's an oral therapy that's on the market. It's called Nanobac TX. It's available everywhere in the world by mail order. It was invented by Dr. Gary Mazzo 20 years ago. It's been tried for 20 years. It's non-prescription. It's an over-the-counter nutraceutical that is combined with the chemicals that are used for chelation. So it's a combination of vitamins, nutraceuticals, and this chemical that is known as EDTA that actually chelates this stuff. So it's actually a more sophisticated mix than the EDTA with vitamins alone. And I have used this product. I have no investment in it. So, but I can tell you, I've had quite good results with it. I had my carotid artery. I had a little lump in it. And my doctor was very surprised when he did a CIMT scan of my artery and said, wow, not only has this thing not progressed, but it's actually gone down a bit. I've never seen that before in my practice. Wow. And I have heard this story time and time again. And plus, that's just, of course, hearsay anecdotal. But there have been a number of studies that have been published, one by Cleveland Clinic, that show that this therapy has been effective in reversing a hardening of the arteries as well as prostate stones in patients. And that was all done 15 years ago. So sure. Here's an oral therapy that you take once at night, 8 pills, and you're done. Now, you have to take it for quite a time, 6 months to a year. But hey, look at all the years it took to build up in you. And so you don't have to go to a doctor's office and have the needle stuck in your arm for this. It takes about the same amount of time, but you take it every night. And so, this is really good stuff. And again, I can't emphasize enough. It's taken on a whole different dimension now that the American Heart Association has legitimized the need to get rid of these heavy metals.
Absolutely. And there is a need. And I think especially within the veteran community, the military community as a whole, there's a growing awareness of these toxins and the exposures that we've all had. And people want these out of us. They don't want them to be there. And so it's wonderful that these treatments exist. We'll talk a little bit more. You said there's other treatments that we can talk about, too. We'll talk a little bit more about that after the break. So stay tuned.
Great.
Experts say that China is hoarding a massive amount of food. They will soon have over 2/3 of the globe's corn reserves, over half of its rice, and over half of its wheat. But when asked about it, China lies. One China expert says they, of course, will never admit to something like that. Well, what does China know that we don't? When it comes to global food shortages, China is the canary in the coal mine. You see, China is the world's number one food importer. They rely on the rest of the world to keep their people fed. So they can't afford to mess up, or there will be riots, civil panic, or even worse, when over a billion people can't eat. What does this mean for Americans like you and me? Two words, food shortages. That's why it's a smart idea to stock up on a kit of the best-selling 4 Patriots survival food. Create your own stockpile of the best-selling 4 Patriots survival food kits. They're hand-packed in the USA, the kits are compact and stack easily, they have different delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, and their 5-star reviews on the website rave about their flavor and taste. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase of 4 Patriots Survival Food by typing in the code DRIVEON at checkout. Just go to 4patriots.com and use the code DRIVEON to get 10% off your first purchase of 4 Patriots Survival Food. That's 4patriots.com. Use code DRIVEON.
Everybody, welcome back to Drive On. We've been talking about the toxins, heavy metals that get into our bodies from an early age all the way through, you know, adulthood, and they build up. We've talked about some ways of getting these toxins out of our bodies. And there's other treatments too, Douglas, that you had mentioned that doctors are more comfortable with providing these treatments, but they don't work as effectively as the treatments that are being developed now, the more recent treatments. And I want to talk about why they don't work. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about some of the other effects, some of the maybe emotional effects that could right. could be experienced through exposure to some of these things.
Yeah, good point. So one of the things I talk about, I touch on in the book, is exactly what you just said. You know, a lot of military personnel are experiencing emotional stuff, you know, on top of some of the traumas they've experienced. But, you know, and you don't know where this stuff's coming from because these are hidden stresses. And by the way, we're talking about heavy metals now, but there's also another form of hidden stress called low-grade infection. But we'll get back to that in a bit. So we have a symptom-treating industry called the healthcare industry. It's nothing new. In heart disease, they're treating the symptoms. You know, they're going after the so-called cholesterol, which remains controversial to this day. They're going after hypertension, which they should, but they're not going after the cause of hypertension. And one of the causes is the metals that get into you. All of that stuff that happens to you has emotional impacts as well. And there are a number of papers that have been published on the relationship between heavy metals and depression and chronic depression. No surprise. You know, I mean, when you feel like crap to start with, yes, of course, it's going to affect your psychological outlet. But this is also just creating all kinds of imbalances in your body. And by the way, it affects the arteries going to your brain. So the elastic that I mentioned in the first segment, this elastin fiber, it controls the elasticity of the arteries going to the brain. So as those arteries start to harden, that's going to affect your emotional well-being. So this isn't just, you know, there's been a lot published recently on the relationship between the physical and the emotional, and this is a really good example of that bridge. And one of the things that people report when they've had these therapies that work, the ones that work, not the ones that don't work, is they feel better. And, you know, that's a really important factor. It's not to be discounted at all. So
now, and feel better emotially too.
Right. Absolutely. You know, and they feel better all around. And, yeah. You know, that certainly is a big deal. So the reason that these therapies don't work, the standard therapies, is because, you know, we just really have the technology to go at the true causes of this stuff for, you know, for quite some time, and also to understand it. And now that we do, the pharmaceuticals industry has a lot vested in these standard drugs. I mean, $1 trillion a year. In heart drugs. That's big money. And if you start to attack the actual cause, the need for some of those drugs goes away. So, you know, you can just imagine the disincentive for these companies to do that. And I'm not saying that these companies are the evil empire. You know, we asked them to fix our symptoms, and that's what they did.
Right.
You know, but now we've built this monster, you know, called the pharmaceuticals industry. And, you know, they've done some great things. I mean, there's no question about it. And to be clear, these standard drugs, they're not the evil empire. They've done a lot of good. You know, they keep us going when otherwise we couldn't. So this is sort of a progression onwards from that. And I want to be clear about one other thing. None of this is your doctor's fault. Your doctor is stuck with this healthcare system that forces them into a box. So sometimes they can't even prescribe this stuff because the local medical association gets down their throat and the insurance companies say, oh, it's not prescribed. You know, you're going to get sued. We're not going to cover it. And so the doctor is faced with all this stuff. Having said that, the therapies that do work are available all across the United States. And before I forget about it, I would really like to hear from military personnel, you know, on my website, which is natureoflongevity.com, you know, about, you know, anything related to this, because I think what we need to do is I think we need to get political. And what I mean by that is, you know, the AIDS epidemic wasn't fixed because people were polite about it. It was fixed because a bunch of movie stars got active, you know, and sure. And I can tell you a number of other diseases where it's been patient activism demanding that this stuff be provided to them, that solutions be found, that has driven this whole thing. I mean, the whole vaccine thing with COVID, that was a massive political pressure and a justified one, you know, medically, regardless of what you might think about the vaccines. But there you go. So it's a lot of times it's this political pressure and patient activism. And I really believe that we should all get together on this and start demanding this. I think we should, you know, start a movement around it. Maybe it's the wrong word, but patient activism is the right word. And, you know, so that's what I really think we should go at. Now, getting back to your first question, I am the co-founder of a company called Elastrin Therapeutics. And we are one of the few companies in the world with a technology that was actually created at Clemson University in South Carolina, which is a big military state. This therapy has a unique combination of technologies that uses a new technology to deliver a newly discovered natural substance that restores the elastic fiber in your body. But it can also be used as a platform to include the chelating chemicals that are known to remove these heavy metals and the calcification that occurs in hardening of the arteries. Now, this is not in the market yet, although the great news is it has been used by our sister company against aneurysms. 7 million Americans suffer from aneurysms, and when they burst, they can be fatal. And there is no prevention for them right now. Well, our sister company has actually just completed the first clinical trial that shows that the growth of these aneurysms can be slowed and prevented from bursting. That just happened very recently. So anyone who has an aneurysm should really pay attention to this. The name of the company is Nectaro Medical, and they've got a device that delivers this. I'm not invested in the company, but I wish them all the best because they're doing great stuff. So here we have this stuff coming down the pipe. It's really exciting. And it is sort of the tomorrow world of this chelation therapy that is going on today. And meantime, you have the chelation therapy that's available nationwide. You have Nanobac TX that is available by mail order from nanobiotechpharma.com. You can see all of this at my website. And I have to say, sorry, read the book. Because I spent 5 years writing this book and taking all of the experiences of the doctors and the patients and their successes and why this stuff works and where these heavy metals come from and where these infections come from that we haven't even had time to talk about today. That could be the topic of another show because a lot of military personnel overseas are exposed to these low-level infections. And so read the book.
Yeah, and I think for just general purposes, we go to our doctors. We have a problem. You know, this hurts, that hurts. I feel this, I feel that, whatever it is. And again, like you said earlier, doctors and the medical industry in general, they treat the symptoms. You come in with a squeaky wheel.
The healthcare system tells them to treat the symptoms, yep. And the drug industry gives them drugs to treat the symptoms. They're bombarded by symptom treating things.
Exactly. Yeah.
But having said that, Scott, there's a group of integrative cardiologists out there, for example, and integrative physicians, and there are like thousands of them. sure. who have a different view on this. So they exist, and you know, you can seek them out. And I can give an example of this. Do we have time for a 1 minute example?
We could do a quick example.
Okay, Peter Bartelli, pilot with United Airlines, had a block stent. He was told he'd never fly again by the FAA because he flunked his stress test, fired his cardiologist, went to another cardiologist who had NanoBac TX, used it, and guess what? Against all odds, passed his stress test and flew for 10 more years, and he's still racing his car around Sebring. That is right. A true story, and that's how I start the book.
Yeah, and I think going back to the point I was making there is that we need to be our own advocate when we go to our doctors. And I think a great example is what you just gave there, where you go to the doctor and just like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll just do what the doctor says. And you don't do your own research and you don't look into the issues on your own. You're just relying on that one doctor with their particular set of skills, their knowledge, their motivations, whatever it is that is causing them to tell you whatever the diagnosis or whatever the treatment plan that they are telling you, you're relying on just that one person. And, you know, I don't know. I feel like the second opinion is a great way to
absolutely
increase your chances.
The VA, oddly enough, has a heart disease reversal program. Most people have never heard of it. Now, wow. I don't know if they glopped onto this therapy, but now that the American Heart Association has come out with it, they might be changing their minds on using it. So
sure.
You can go to the VA and say, hey, what about the American Heart Association announcement? What about this therapy? You know, can the VA give this to us as part of its heart disease treatment and reversal program? That would be a good thing to do.
It would be great.
Absolutely.
We'll get more into where people can go to find out about the stuff that you do after the break. So stay tuned.
This message is from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Veterans Service Organizations, often known as VSOs, offer many services for veterans and their families. Those services include holding job fairs and finding solutions to issues such as healthcare and finances. VSOs also offer veterans a place to socialize with other veterans for peer support. To learn more, go to va.gov.
Hey everybody, welcome back. If you've missed the last couple episodes of Drive On, you might have missed that we're going to try closing out each episode with a joke or some funny comedy segment of some variety. I feel like laughter can be the best medicine, maybe not in all cases, but general purposes, I think laughter is pretty good. It doesn't hurt.
According to Patch Adams, it is.
There you go. And that's all the proof I need. And so I want to be able to share some humor and laughter with the audience. But before we get to that, to the comedy, the joke segment of this episode, Douglas, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today. Where can people go to get in touch with you, find out more about what you do, get a copy of your book and all that type of stuff?
Well, Scott, first of all, I want to commend your program for having the courage to bring this on. I think that military personnel could be at the forefront of this accelerating this whole heavy metal therapy issue and really taking it by the horns and wrestling it to the ground. Man, let's get rid of this stuff, you know? And I think we should take a military approach to it. So what I did was, after doing all this research, I wrote this book called Discovering the Nature of Longevity, Restoring the Heart and Body by Targeting Hidden Stress. It's available on Amazon, no problem. And it actually debuted at number one in seven categories on wow. Amazon. So it's, you know, it attracted a lot of attention. And that book has 700 scientific references in it. But at the same time, it is not a textbook. It's an easy to read series of stories about the patients, the doctors, and the researchers who have been successful, as well as how this stuff gets into us, what does it do to you, and how you can get rid of it. And I've also put quite a bit on my website, which is www.drivenow.com. natureoflongevity.com. So it's www.natureoflongevity.com. And there's a segment on the heavy metals, on the American Heart Association announcement, on the effect of wildfires. And, you know, so please do that. There's also another book, a booklet that I did called The Story of Nanovac TX, which is the story of how Gary Mazzeau actually invented Nanovac TX, which is this oral nutraceutical non-prescription that you can order by mail order. And so anyone who really wants to know the history of that and how it developed, very small booklet, it's like about $5. And you can order that in combination with the main book, which I highly recommend you do because it's a really convenient way of dealing with this. So those are all the things that you can do. A lot of the links are on the website as well. But please also, you know, contact me through the contact form. Sure. Or at info@calcify.com. That's info@calcify.com. Calcify as in calcification, .com.
Perfect. And we'll have links to those websites in the show notes, a link to the book in the show notes as well. So for the viewers who want to get in touch or find out more information, check out the show notes and you'll have all those links there. Now, I promised a joke, so we'll get to that part now. Douglas, you said before during the break, you said that you had a joke. Would you like to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
A horse walks into a bar, and the bartender says, "Why the long face?" You got to think about it for a minute.
You know what? I had a feeling that that's where it was going. It's
But there's a reason I told that. It's because every movement in your face and all the wrinkles that you get are actually caused by elastin fiber. The thing that allows you to have a long face when you're sad is the elastin fiber actually allowing your face to have this elastic response. So why the long face is why I told that joke.
All right. So my joke, there's an Australian soldier and an American soldier, and they're pinned down in a firefight. And the Australian gets up and starts waving his arms around, and he starts laughing at the enemy. He's making faces, all this kind of stuff. When he gets back down in the foxhole, the American looks at him, and he said, "Did you come here to die?" And the Australian goes, "Nah, mate, I came here yesterday."
colloquialisms.
Yeah, there it is. So, all right, for the listeners, again, check out the show notes. We'll have all the links to everything that we talked about here today. And again, thank you, Douglas, for taking the time to join me. I really do appreciate it.
Scott, it's been great, and maybe we'll do another show on these hidden infections.
Great, thank you. Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Sun, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.